Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. On the other side of the coast, we've got Mr. Dave Martino.
I am here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me out.
Yeah. Well, of course. Who else would I have? Oh, there's several. We've got several hosts
The
run all the time.
On the run.
Yeah. Yeah, by the law. It depends on who our guest is. So, right. Of course, you've written horror and your sci-fi and that stuff. So you fit perfectly with our guest today. We've got a man that's written a lot of books. And we're talking, it's crazy. We'll just go right to him. So, Mr. Declan Finn, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So Declan, it looks like you've written a lot of books, but a short time. So let's talk about yourself. Where did it start for you? Like, why did you get into writing, do you think?
I got into writing largely because I was compelled to. I don't know how many authors also mention the compulsion part, but basically I was going to do one lousy short story. That was it. One story. I'll get this idea out of my head and that'll be it. About six books later, that were in modern terms about 800 pages long, each book, I found that, I have rewired my brain to continuously process and come up with new ideas. So congratulations, I'm a writer, whether I like it or not. Usually when people ask me, I want to be a writer, what should I do? My first response is, if you want to be a writer, no, you don't. You really don't. If you have to be a writer, we can talk.
Mm. So it was kind of a real... So you write really quickly. It sounds like you're a person that sits down and just writes. Is that how it goes for you? Do you get this idea, concept, and maybe characters all at once, and you just sit down and do it?
More or less, yes. Most of my books have been a matter of sit down, design a character fully enough so that they can basically be autonomous. I drop them into situations and just, let them go. More recently, I've taken up outlines and that sort of thing. But even then, outlines can be a little bit fluid, especially when it's, you know, I've just outlined pounding the pavement and interviewing people and standard procedural stuff for the next two chapters. But I'm already bored. So let's blow up this guy's car and move on. You know, things like that.
Well, that's interesting. So you're almost working like a computer in a sense. So you don't have to be in a certain mood or a certain situation. You just can sit down and do it.
Correct. Mainly because my brain is always working on this sort of stuff. Writing situations, how to approach situations, depending on the character. Even when I'm just trying to do downtime, like watching television or reading or trying to do something quote unquote mindless. But when the brain won't shut off, it's always working. So by the time I actually get back to the computer, half of it's already outlined, whether I have it down on paper or not. It's already been worked on. I just have to flesh it out.
Well, in the course of your writing, have your characters become, autonomous? Have they done anything to surprise you? Have they kind of gone off the rails and rebelled from the plot that was already in your mind, in the direction you had wanted to go with the story? Has that ever happened?
What is all of the above? Yes, I've had books where I've had some books where I'm going along, I have a perfectly good idea of where the story is going, who all of the characters are, and I've had characters from other books just wander in, and they took over. It's like, dang it, you're not supposed to be in this one, but all right, fine, we'll take it, we'll move on. In fact, I had one series, my current book, White Ops, was the first thing I had ever written, and I went back, I decided, okay, I will put it off, I will come back to it later, I will work on other things. And when I started working on my next project after that, which was a thriller, current day, I wound up having the main character be the ancestor of the main character from White Ops, because the plot would not move on until I actually named him after the other one. It was fairly obnoxious of the entire family. Yeah, at this point, I have gotten to the point where I have just blamed the entire Ryan family for just being obnoxious to work with. They don't exist, mind you, but I blame them anyway.
Well, how do you describe your characters? The sense of a lot of writers will describe their characters as possibly being like their children or family. They have all sorts of things they say about them. How do you describe your characters?
Well, usually I describe writing itself as legalized schizophrenia. But in the case of, how do I put this? It's my way of making the people who live in my head pay rent. You know, nobody lives rent free in my head. It's a matter of just taking them and making them pay their dues.
Well, how do you experience your characters? Do you have an inner monologue in your head when you write, or is it something more? Is it more visual for you and something you're trying to transcribe?
It's mostly visual. I have problems writing characters if I don't have a good grasp of what they look like. That's a reason why there are sometimes I will just be writing and, oh, look, this singer from a YouTube video has pretty much the right look. I'll just, put in what I see and write that down. Sometimes it's never that neat. In fact, there are some characters who I had a perfectly solid image in my head of what they look like, and over time, they morphed into something completely different. That was one of those times where it happened over a series of books, and let's just say that I was very glad that it was a first-person perspective, and he never described himself, So I didn't have to worry about how the character had changed physical appearance in my head.
Now, your book that just came out, White Ops, just came out January 18th here. I believe your main character is Sean Patrick Ryan. So who is Sean Patrick Ryan?
Sean Ryan is a member of the annoying family of characters I mentioned earlier. And he started off existence as sort of a fixer, a little bit of a mercenary. And he ends up joining, I'll call them Space Templars, you know, an alien group of, we're going to satisfy multiple aspects of our alien culture, you know, warriors or priests or workers, by going out and doing good deeds. Now, sometimes doing good deeds just means finding very bad people doing very bad things and making them stop. Encouraging them to cease and desist their unpleasant activities one way or the other. If, you know, the priest angle of the alien society will, as a first resort, try to talk them down. The warrior aspect of the society will sooner break their legs, that sort of thing. Sean always likes to think of himself as being in the... sure, why can't we just all sit down and reason together, and then I break your legs, sort of thing. Now, granted, his character has warped over time, and the threats he deals with over the course of the books become not a matter of, it can't just be solved with reason or breaking legs, it's mostly a matter of, well, we have to make sure we get the nuclear bomb in the right place so we can, you know, wipe these people out of existence, preferably before they launch their own nukes.
Well, where did you get this character from? Like, how did you find Sean? Like, where did that particular character come from?
Remember when I said that I started writing one lousy short story, and it turned into multiple books.
Right.
This was him. And when I started writing, I was 16, and I had multiple prejudices. I was a Catholic chauvinist, so I had to, for some reason, I wanted him to grow up in a Catholic monastery. I don't know why, originally, but it worked out. This one monastery, I made up an entire Catholic order just for this book. And yes, they host interstellar Renaissance festivals. And if you've ever been to a Renaissance festival, there are a lot of folks who show up with a idealized view of different military cultures, for example. And this guy just wound up absorbing as many military cultures as he possibly could. I forget why he wound up with an eidetic memory, but I basically turned him into not necessarily the science fiction equivalent of an Arnold Schwarzenegger character. Thank God I toned it down by a lot over 20 years of rewriting, but that's where he started.
Now, it seems like, okay, you've got book one and two and three coming out fairly quickly here. So, but you've kind of got one whole big book and you've divided it up, if I'm right.
That is true for books one and two. They were too large and unwieldy, and it even got worse in the rewrites because the opening sections of the novel just kept expanding, as did the background to every character. It got to the point where I was kind of worried that I would overload people with character details. So I wound up splitting it up into two books for the first round. The third book was actually a short story that was so tightly compressed, and I was trying to do so much in about 36 pages. I literally unpacked it so that it became 360 pages. So yes, the first two books were basically one novel, but the third novel was a short story.
Interesting. Now, we know that black ops are covert operations that I guess haven't been officially sanctioned. What are white ops in your story?
White ops works on several levels. One, well, if we're fighting an army of darkness, then we have to be white ops, not black ops, right? Another angle is black ops can be things that are you don't want to officially sanction. But in the case of white ops, it's a matter of we can officially sanction this till we're blue in the face, but we really have to keep this a secret because the people, the aliens who are coming in and trying to be covert about it, think they're being sneaky. They think we don't see them coming. We just have to be sneaky.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sneakier, and whenever we hit them, we have to leave no trace. So it's white ops. White ops is just special operations on the side of virtue. And in some cases, the white in white ops is the nuclear flash.
Did you outline the whole sort of book? I guess you're not really an outliner there. It sounds like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, so you do you kind of know how it's going to end before you're doing the book?
Oh, heck no. I will have a general idea of it going from point A to point Z. I have every other letter or bullet point figured out. In some cases, the ball doesn't take a funny hop. It takes a ricochet. So the answer is, I have a general idea of where I'm going to end up. How I get there is a different conversation. And like I said earlier, there are sometimes it's just a matter of you got to get the characters to work with you, or at least keep throwing obstacles in their way until they work with you.
Hmm. Now, you seem to be really into space and science fiction. Do you have other writers that kind of turned you on to that?
Certainly. I would say some of my bigger inspirations are Timothy Zahn, who people might know best from Star Wars, Heir to the Empire from the early 90s. Or J. Michael Straczynski, the guy who wrote Babylon 5. Later on, during the rewrites, mostly, I would say inspirations were drawn from both David Weber, who is probably best known for the Honor Harrington space opera series. Big space battles and a lot of characters. Or even John Ringo, who is also science fiction and military and comes in more from an infantry perspective. He is former Army. And I've a little bit of column A, column B, C, and D.
When you say space opera, so for listeners who are not sure, what do you mean by that?
Space opera, something with an epic scope. There are some people who use it as derogatory because, they're old-fashioned adventure stories. Well, this is, quote, an adventure story with some politics, a lot of intrigue, a lot of how do we face overwhelming odds with fewer numbers, that sort of thing. And it's basically the kitchen sink approach to science fiction, where you could look at it as several genres crammed into one. In fact, a lot of the reviewers have been going, yeah, space opera is the only way to describe this because there's politics, there's intrigue, there's spying, plain old espionage, military science fiction. How is there a romance stuffed into this as well? That sort of thing.
Well, I'm wondering, is with so much within the stories, have you ever gotten pushback from publishers for kind of maybe overlapping genres or anything like that?
No, I have not. I've submitted this to 3 publishers. I was accepted by 2, much to my surprise. I figured this was going to be something I would self-publish, but I did not expect 2 different publishers to actually like it. So I flipped a coin, picked one, and went with it. And nobody's had any problem. I actually haven't had any problems even from publishers to the review on, to the reviewers on how many genres are in it. In fact, the biggest complaint I got from somebody was, it's a little bit too much of an adventure story, but I'm not really in the mood for an adventure story right now. And that has been the biggest complaint I've gotten so far.
When do you know when a story's ready?
When I can no longer edit it. One of the things for anybody who has written a book and is wondering about publishing, for the love of God, please edit it. And by edit, I mean put it aside. I like to do about 6 weeks to 6 months and then come back and try to read it fresh, because by that point, we hope the right writer in question will not be reading what he or she thinks is there, because a lot of writers will tell you that when they're reading their own work, they read what should be there, what they, quote unquote, know they wrote. Yeah, that doesn't happen. With White Ops, I knew it was time to submit it because I couldn't read it anymore. It's like, I cannot polish this any more than I already have. If it's garbage, it's garbage, but you know, again, I intended to self-publish and just get it out there because I've done all this work. It's been decades, literally. So if it's not ready now, it never will be.
So you've been working on this a long time. What do you hope people get out of the series or the book anyway, the White Ops book?
I just hope they have a good time. I'm not trying to push any agendas. I'm trying to be as non-political as fiction gets, especially these days. I just hope they sit back, relax, and have fun without overtaxing too many people, because I've read some good stories that have turned into, you know, how do I put this? Game of Starships with 500 characters you can no longer keep track of. You know, it's War and Peace. You kind of read it and hope somebody dies so you'll never have to keep track of the character again. I just want people to read, have fun, and enjoy themselves.
So it's a good time. How many books are going to be in the series?
The outline, such as it is, goes up to about 13 books. There might be fewer, depending on how the edits go. I have one novel that's so long, I'm trying to flip a coin as to whether or not it should be one book or two. And the 13-book outline is dependent largely on how the characters decide to play well with me.
Do you find that each time you get through a story, or for you, I guess 10 years you've been, so each year or something, do you find you become a better writer?
I become a faster writer. Better, I have no idea. I honestly not. It's mainly because I've self-published books. I've written late 90s, early aughts, where the reply in the reviews have been, you can obviously see his evolution as a writer. Like, dude, I literally wrote this 22 years ago. So it's sort of difficult to see exactly how the improvement has happened, or where the improvement has come from. But overall, yes. If only through output.
You've written for a long time, and I'm just wondering if you've noticed any motifs, any recurrent themes in your fiction, and if these are things that you tease out or they kind of come to the surface unconsciously.
No, not particularly. Like I said, I try to be all over the place genre-wise. It's kind of hard to have epic space battles in one genre translate into urban fantasy on another. At least I haven't gotten to that point yet. The closest I came was blowing up parts of Central Park. So that was a good day. But but aside from that, no, not really. There are some people who insist that I have a well-developed sense for heroism, but it's like, I don't think that's a motif, so I don't think that fits your question.
So where do you see yourself going with the writing world?
Well, I've got 5 books I am currently writing, as well as finishing out the edits / writing on the rest of the White Ops books, as well as another 4 books in one of my urban fantasy series that's currently being held up by Amazon. But after those, hold on, additional 15, 20 books are written, I intend to completely retire. We'll see how long it takes for all 20 books to come out. If it's my usual rate of speed, it'll be 5 years. If it's not my usual rate of speed, it may take the next 20. So I don't tend to see much farther, but, you know, than 5, 10 years, 20 years from now.
So are you really liking the social media, and do you like to interact with your readers?
Well, that's two different questions. I like interacting, you know, I like interacting with fans. I like interacting with my readers. They usually have a lot of interesting questions or suppositions, and sometimes they're a little bit too close to the mark where I have to not answer at all. It's like, yeah, you know exactly where book four is going. I can't say anything now. That sort of thing. So I like interacting with that. Do I like social media? No, not at all. Unfortunately, I need it in order to get the word out, even to fans of mine. Thank you. All these social media algorithms that make it impossible for individual posts to get there unless I'm constantly spamming. But no, I do not like social media. Interacting with the fans, great. It's wonderful. I love them. They're all interesting people one way or another. Dealing with social media, if I didn't need social media, I'd leave it tomorrow.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, you know. So if there was one book, someone hasn't read anything you've ever written before, what one book would you tell them to pick up to get the feel for who you are?
I would probably start with White Ops. It, like I said, it's one of the first projects I ever worked on, and it has shades of the writer I have been over the entire course of my career, because I come back to it every few years whenever I figure, yeah, I have evolved further to some degree or another, come back, start working with it or hitting it with a hammer, to get it into the right shape. And so you wind up with a lot of shades of who I am and who I have been, while I've been writing. So definitely start with White Ops. That's where I'd go.
Now, do you have a website and a place that you like people to come find you, or is it just social media?
Oh, I try to be everywhere. I have a Substack, DeclanFinn.substack. I have a blog, that's DeclanFinn.com. I've got Declan Finn books on Twitter, a Facebook page, a Facebook group, just plain Facebook. Just because it's there, what are those other ones? One's a Gab, one's a Parler, one's a MeWe, one's a Getter, I think. Yeah, I think that's the other one. But it's basically, if there's a social media platform, I'm on it. I've even dragged myself onto Instagram, of all places. I'm not trying to downgrade Instagram, but it's like, I get to post photos. What am I going to post photos of? I write science fiction. None of this stuff exists in the real world. So.
Wow. Well, we'll put that up on our website as well. We'll have people so they can find you and one click and pick up your book. The book we're talking about is White Ops, and the guest is the author, Declan Finn. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Declan.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.